translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Whoever carefully recites the mysterious appearances of the Lord with devotion in the morning and in the evening gets relief from all miseries of life. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Personality of Godhead has declared that anyone who knows the principles of the transcendental birth and activities of the Lord will go back to Godhead after being relieved from this material tabernacle. So simply knowing factually the mysterious ways of the Lord's incarnation in this material world can liberate one from the material bondage. Therefore, the birth and activity of the Lord, as manifested by Him for the welfare of the people in general, are not ordinary. They are mysterious, and only by those who carefully try to go deep into the matter of spiritual devotion is the mystery discovered. Thus one gets liberation from material bondage. It is advised, therefore, that one who simply recites this chapter of Bhagavatam, describing the appearance of the Lord in different incarnations, in sincerity and devotion, can have insight into the birth and activities of the Lord. The very word vimukti, or liberation, indicates the Lord's birth and activities are all transcendental. Otherwise, simply by reciting them, one could not attain liberation. They are therefore mysterious, and those who do not follow the prescribed regulations of devotional service are not entitled to enter the mysteries of His birth and activities. So, right. So, in this purport, Prabhupada immediately he's quoting from his Bhagavad Gita as it is, from the fourth chapter, text 9. Chamma kamadam divyam evam yo vati tatantaha tvakta deham puna jamma natimam yajuna. One who knows my transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving his body, take birth again in this material world, but attains eternal abode, O Arjuna. So in that verse, Prabhupada says the tattva taha. That means tattva. So in tattva there are two considerations. The acharyas explain that there's a para tattva and tattva vichar. So a para tattva means apparent tattva, apparent consideration. And tattva vichar means absolute consideration. Now, to give an example of this, Prabhupada he writes in the Adi Leela, 4th chapter, verse 15, and it's one of his purports. During the period of the Lord's, Krishna's appearance, the killing of the Asuras or non-believers such as Kamsa and Jarasandha was done by Vishnu, who was within the person of Krishna. Such apparent killing by the Lord, Shri Krishna, took place as a matter of course and was an incidental activity for him. But the real purpose of the Lord's appearance was to stage a dramatic performance of his transcendental pastimes at Brajabhumi, thus exhibiting the highest limit of transcendental mellow in the exchanges of reciprocal love between the living entity and the Supreme Lord. And we have to understand, first of all, that Krishna does not come to this material world. When Krishna comes, he comes in his own abode. He comes with his paraphernalia, and he comes with his eternal associates. So, therefore, Prabhupada says in the one of his purports again, in the 10th canto, 3rd chapter, verse 31, it's about halfway down, this one particular sentence, he says, Bhakti, Bhagavan, and Bhakta do not belong to this material world. So, when Krishna comes, he brings his own abode. And he never leaves that abode. He never leaves Vrindavan. In fact, he says, Ekapada, I can't remember the full verse, but where he says, I never set one foot out of Vrindavan. And his activities are to reciprocate with his devotees in the five mellows of devotional, or the five principal rasas. And therefore they the residents of Vrindavan, they all have a relationship with Krishna in the five principal rasas. Now, in Bhagavad Thakur's Jiva Dharma, he describes that there are three principal tattvas or considerations. There are sambandha, abhideya, and projana. And if one does not understand these three tattvas, one will not understand the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. So sambandha means relationship. Abhideya means bhakti or the process. And some other acharya, somebody I read the other day, he gives another interpretation. He says, service related to that relationship through bhakti. And projana means the goal of life, the sadhya. So there's sadhana and there's sadhya. Sadhana means the means, and sadhya is the goal. So the sadhana, the sambandha, has three categories: relationship between Krishna and the spirit soul. Relationship between the spirit soul and Maya, and relationship between Krishna and Maya. So the relationship, so we all have a relationship with Krishna. And so this sambandha, this relationship, is this sambandha tattva is is given to us at the time of initiation, when the spiritual master gives initiation. He's actually initiating us into our relationship with Krishna. And to understand what our relationship is with Krishna, we have to go deeper into this ocean of prema ras, and Prabhupada says in one lecture I heard some time back, he said, it is not enough to know we're not this body. It is not enough. We have to go deeper. We have to be self-realized. And self, he said, real self-realization means knowing our eternal Sarup and act on that eternal Sarup in this lifetime by practicing it internally. Now, we know the Lord has many appearances. He appears as Vamanadev, Kurma, Matsya, and called Narasingadev. So all these appearances, he's actually, you know, there's the external cause and there's the internal cause. So of course, he's actually relating to those in those particular appearances to that devotee, that particular devotee, on their level of relationship he has with them. And now to understand that in this in the purport is Krishna who appears in Vrindavan, that as Prabhupada said, it's just to perform some dramatic transcendental activities with them. Now, to understand the pastimes of Krishna, we have to understand the tattva behind them. And the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam is the tattva, the absolute consideration of the 10th canto. It's explained that I was hearing of a day from that the first 9 cantos, we read the first 9 cantos of the Bhagavatam. But if we don't come to the conclusion, knowing who Krishna's, that Krishna has a relationship with the residents of Vrindavan. If we don't understand this, then reading the first nine cantos is a waste of time. Because an example of this is Uddhava. Now, Uddhava was sent to Vrindavan with letters of love from Krishna, from Dwarka. Now, Uddhava is a very, very dear devotee of Krishna. In fact, he is the same age as Krishna, he looks like Krishna and dresses like Krishna, except Uddhava does not wear a peacock feather and play the flute. Now, Uddhava is a disciple of Vraspati. And Uddhava is a jnani. He knows Shastra nobody knows Shastra like Uddhava. Nobody. But when he came to Vrindavan, he could not understand the relationship, first of all, with Krishna's relationship with Nanda Maharaj, let alone understand his relationship with Krishna and the gopis, Radharani and the gopis. So Uddhava, he was sent to, with these letters, he was sent there to give some consolation because Krishna had promised to come back. And because he said he had some work to do, but the residents of Vrindavan were feeling extreme separation from him, so he sent this letters with Uddhava, and the another reason he sent Uddhava was to show that the love of the residents of Vrindavan, to show that the love residents of Vrindavan, the love they had for Krishna. And in the end, he realized, actually he can, it says in the, he condemned himself because when he saw the love of the residents of Vrindavan for Krishna, he realized, I just wasted my life, I'm useless, I've just condemned myself. He just condemned himself. And he prays that I can be some say a blade of grass, some say a herb in Vrindavan, and that the lotus feet of the gopis can walk over me, and that I get a speck of their dust. So it's from that we can learn, it's just not enough to learn the Shastra. We have to realize our relationship with Krishna, and through the tattva, or the absolute consideration. Now, to understand these pastimes of Krishna, as I said earlier, there is some tattva behind them. So this is a very simple pastime which I read the other day, and Actually, this is from Govinda Maharaj's book, Mathura Meets Vrindavan. And he writes like this in his that this book is based on Govinda Maharaj's lectures, based on Prabhupada's lectures. And so there's one simple pastime. So Nanda Maharaj, he's standing at the one of the doorways of his palace one day. And one gopa comes and he says, "Nanda Maharaj, have you seen Krishna?" He said, "Oh, Krishna, he must be at the Jamuna Tata, on the banks of the Jamuna, playing." And he says that, another gopa comes, and he says, "Nanda Maharaj, I just come from there. He's not there. I've looked all over that." Said, "Oh, then he must be at Vamsivat." "Oh," and then at that same time, another gopa comes, and he says, "Oh, Nanda Maharaj, he's not there." "Oh, then they must be in the Goshala." So, "Oh," then another gopa comes who's just finished milking. He says, no, he's not there either." So then Nanda Maharaj and the gopas, they start getting thinking, "Where is this Krishna? Where is he? And is he in danger? Where is it?" And they're so desperate to find Krishna because they want to look for Krishna, and they start searching for Krishna. And they look and they look and they really get desperate. And they start looking and they can't find him. Then suddenly, Krishna just appears. And he said, "You're looking for me?" He says, "Yes." Nanda Maharaj and the gopas, they say, "Yes." And he said, "I was hiding." "Yes, I was behind the door. I was behind the door you were standing next to, playing hide and seek." So then, thinking of what Gaur Maharaj said, I was thinking, What is Krishna trying to tell me here? Or trying to show me that Krishna is very near. He's hiding, but he's very near. Until I am desperate to find Krishna, he will not reveal himself. And this is mentioned in Bhagavad Gita. I do not appear willingly, but I appear at my own will. So then Krishna was telling for this pastime that Krishna is very near, but he's hiding himself. Until I come to the point where I'm desperate to have Krishna, desperate to get Krishna, and then the Lord will appear to us. So there's many pastimes where Krishna has these pastimes behind pastimes. Where Krishna, there's many meanings behind it and the reasons behind it. So the highest pastime, all these pastimes are confidential. But the most confidentialist pastime is, of course, the Rasalila, which I'm not going to speak about because I'm not qualified, but there's a certain, but But hearing the Rasa Lila from a self-realized soul, as Prabhupada said in one lecture I heard the other day, is the medicine for lust. Now, in the 10th canto, 33rd chapter, 39, it says, Vikarutatam braja prajupa prahe idam ja vishnu srada vitvato rishalyad ata vanadya ja ya bhaktim param bhagavati palitya kanam hidragvan avas aprasyasa achinraina dira. A sober person who with full faith continually hears or describes Bhagavan, Sri Krishna's transcendental Leela with the damsels of Braj, will first attain Parabhakti for the lotus feet of Bhagavan. Therefore, he will quickly conquer the senses and become forever free from the disease of the heart, worldly lust. So just by hearing, so that's the highest, that's the benediction, you can say, by hearing Rasa Lila, but it has to be heard from a self-realized soul who's completely free from any tinge of material lust. And so therefore, Krishna, he appears in Vrindavan to reciprocate with the devotees in different ways. And in Kali Yuga, Krishna appeared as Radha and Krishna appeared as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because you have to remember that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Radharani and is actually a combination of Radha and Krishna. Therefore, Mayapur and Vrindavan are non-different, because actually Mayapur Dham is known as Gupta Vrindavan, the secret of Vrindavan. And we also read that, it says in the Prabhupada's purport, that Krishna, from the Sri Chaitanya, that Krishna killing the demons of Kamsa and they are actually, it seems that Krishna, now this is another example of paratattva and tattva vichar. It seems Krishna is partial to the devotees, and he's impartial to the demons. But in absolute truth, Krishna's not impartial. Because whenever Krishna kills the demons, they actually get liberation. And for instance, examples are now Radharani, when Uddhava is seeing Radharani is, she's in what is technically called Tritrapajalpa, maddening talk. And he said, and there's a bumblebee. And the bumblebee is a blackish color. He says, you bumblebee, you're just like your master. You've come from Mathura, just go away. He said, we can't trust you. You're unreliable. He says, then Radharani says, your Krishna is so tricky that look what he did to, he killed somebody by shooting him in the back with an arrow as Lord Ram. And then he cut off the nose of Ravana's sister, nose and ears off. And then, as Vamadev, after Vamadev gave everything to him, what did he do? He froze him and he puts him down into Palatala Loka. So that is apparently seems that Krishna is very cruel, but he's not. But ultimately, in truth, when he shot, who was it? I forget his name now. Bali, yeah. That it is the only way that Bali could be killed, because he couldn't be killed any other way. Because was fighting, Bali got the strength to always defeat him. The only way to kill him was shooting him in the back. And as Sapanaka, now she wanted to marry Ram, but as Ram took a vow to just have one wife. So in Krishna Leela, she came as Kubja in Mathura. And as we know, she is a very beautiful lady, quote or described, but she was she had a hunchback. And the acharyas describe that because she was born in Krishna Leela as Kubja, if she wasn't born with a hunchback, she would have probably been married, but because she had a hunchback, nobody would marry her. So then when Krishna stood on her toes and straightened her up, and then in her heart, Kubja was marrying Krishna in her heart. So then Krishna was fulfilling the desire from her previous life. And Bali Maharaj, because he gave everything, so therefore he became one of our Mahajans. And so therefore apparently Krishna was very cruel, but in the absolute platform, we see that Krishna always does what's good for that devotee and so therefore whatever happens to the devotee, to the devotee, is also good for that devotee ultimately. And therefore we also see that Krishna as I said, he's not impartial. He's always partial, and the most partial for how he's to show he's not impartial. In Kali Yuga, he comes as Lord Caitanya Mahaprabhu, and he's freely giving not just ordinary love of Godhead, but given the topmost love of Godhead, completely free. But because the living entity has minute independence, it's up to that living entity to accept it or not. Now, when I was taking devotees on Parakram around Mayapur, you see many deities, forms of Lord Caitanya and Lord Nityananda. Now, only generally in ISKCON were they, or in the Golgi mat, were they dancing, as we see them now, like this. But on the other islands of Mayapur Dham, you see they have different, they're different, but their hands aren't up in the air. Now at Mamgachi, the Gornitai deities of Vrindavan Das Thakur, you see Gornitai, their hands are like this. So they're indicating, come on, get the mercy, it's here, get it, take it. And Dharmesh Mahaprabhu, the deity of Vishnu Priya, his hands are like this. And he says, come on, it's here, you take it. And the there's one more for now, yeah. And also, yeah, there's one there's one Gornitai. Lord Nityananda, his hand, his finger is like this. His hand's like this. And Mahaprabhu's hands are like this. So he's saying, come on. Take the mercy from Lord Caitanya. So as living entities, we can take it or not take it. It's up to us. If we take it, we're the winners. If we don't take it, we're the losers. So the minute independence of the living entity is invaluable. It's the only, it's invaluable jewel to have. So if we got any intelligence, we will accept what Lord Caitanya has to offer, because Krishna could not give love of God. He could not give. But in the form of Lord Caitanya, he can give, but we have to take it. So I will stop there and try to ask any, is there any questions? I'll try to answer them. And if there's any corrections, I will accept them.